So I'm here to ease you back into being a radio professional.
Right?
That's awesome.
Let's see if I don't curse.
Let's see if Ted's brain works.
Yeah, exactly. Let's roll the dice, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome BTech Smith and Steve Metz.
BTech Smith and Steve Metz.
You are now entering the Megacast.
The Megacast.
Oh, we are back, Ted. We're just both zoning out.
Yeah.
Enjoying a little testify.
We still got to tape one outside so we'd spit water.
Yeah, yeah, we absolutely do. We have to do an outdoor podcast just so that we can spit water.
Just spitting water. Yeah.
They're like, why are you guys wiring everything so you could do it outside? We just want to spit water.
I'm going to spit water.
You guys couldn't just pre-record that and then add it in? No.
That's a damn good idea, Steve.
Oh, that wasn't my idea. That was the fake person that's giving us ideas that we're going to just say no to.
Oh, yeah. 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 We're not listening to your ideas, dude. Yeah.
I'm that guy and his stupid ideas.
He's always trying to make us do stuff.
Yeah, I hate that guy. It's good to see you again, though.
Yeah, man. It's good to be back here, Megacast.
Sheesh. Well, we didn't do one last week, right?
Correct.
Okay, so this is our first one in a while, and this is the first time that you're doing anything that involves speaking in front of a microphone since Summer Meltdown.
Yeah. It's been like a week for me. And like, I left the house today. So two things. I got up today, and I was like, obviously, I didn't sleep a ton at the festival.
But shocking.
I was like, I had 2 days off. I think I've caught back up asleep. And then when I left my apartment today, we have a trash chute, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go downstairs for recycling and compost. And like, as I got downstairs to the parking garage, I was like, well, I'm not all the way together because I never threw the trash out. Still just holding that bag in my hand. And then when I got into work, one of the first people I saw was like, good to have you back. Wow, dude. Your eyes give it away.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, so I'm not fully recovered.
You get those trash bags under your eyes right now.
Oh, man, I know.
Just like a little bit.
Yeah, I saw them this morning. They were pretty intense.
Yeah, yeah. No, dude, I feel you, man. I spent a few days in Atlanta, and you know, I definitely got more sleep probably than you did because I wasn't camping with a bunch of crazy people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I didn't get a great night's sleep all the time.
And, Steve, I can't say that I didn't get sleep because I was camping with crazy people. I was one of the crazy people.
Oh, yeah.
That stayed up. They're just like, I always love the question on Sunday. Man, what time did you get up? I haven't been to bed yet. You seem like you're holding it together. That's what's funny. Like there, I was thriving, holding it together. But when I got back to regular world, I just looked, I don't know.
And do you notice, I noticed this in Atlanta, and I've noticed it before, but I hit a point. And I was even talking to some people that were there as well and that were, you know, definitely partaking in the amount of alcohol that I was partaking in. And I hit a point where I just couldn't get drunker. Like,
yeah,
I hate those moments. Like, I was at a bar. It's like 2 a.m. Still got an hour left to drink before they shut it down. And I'm just doing shots and drinking and shots and this. And I'm like, I don't feel any different than I did at 9 p.m. when I first started drinking. Like, I'm drunk, but sounds awful. I want to be blacked out drunk right now.
I want to be drunker.
Yeah, I want to be the drunkest. I'm not winning this award for drunkest.
I think it was funny that like, so Meltdown's 4 days, right? Mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right. Did you do all 4 days this time?
Correct, sir.
Nice.
Yeah, wire to wire. And Sunday night, the last act, Flow Motion, the band that basically started the festival, they play the Beer Garden, and they're like the last people. I think they start at like 11:30 on Sunday. So I had gone down, I forget what else. Oh, STS-9 was Sunday too. So I watched like STS-9, went back up to camp, and I was sitting there. I was like, do I go back down for Flow Motion? Maybe I'll just call it a night. But I knew there was a couple people in the beer garden I was hoping to run into.
Right. So ladies?
Yeah. So nice. Kyle was like, man, get 10 push-ups, get back down.
Oh!
Get back down there and get it done. And I was like, he's right, dude. So I did 10 push-ups. Went back down to the beer garden, you know, saw the people I was hoping to run into. Fast forward, the beer garden is now officially closing, and it's like me and Taryn doing shots of Fireball with her buddy Andrew and her buddy Jesse, you know Andrew, of course, that are running the stage, because now they're finally done.
The bartender, they want a party.
Yeah, they're like, shots of Fireball. Now they're just walking around with trays, 2 for $6, like, here's 20, we'll take a bunch. So it's like, should I go back down there? And then it's like, I'm closing down the beer garden.
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah. And next to me, well, Sorry, I could go on all night.
Oh, and we will. But you know what? You mentioned the 10 push-ups.
They were a lifesaver that Sunday, Steve. I owe so much to you. I'm not even kidding, man.
That's why we do them on the MegaCast.
Oh, dude.
Mega Family knows what's up.
I'm telling you, get 10. It turned me around. I mean, the smile I had for 2 days was because of those push-ups.
Dude, when I'm dragging ass, even when I'm not under any kind of influence, like there are times where I'm like, I don't feel like doing this. I'm like, all right, let me just bust out 10 quick push-ups, get that heart racing, and I feel a million times better. It's like a Red Bull.
Yeah, it was.
So let's do that. Let's get the, I mean, Mega Family. And we have not, I have a feeling that we have some new people listening to this podcast, because when I went to that radio convention, I was preaching the good word about our podcast. I saw people subscribing to it on their phone. So we have radio professionals now across the country. We were even, our logo was up there on a big screen. Did I show you that?
Yes.
Okay, I did.
You did.
Good. On a big screen in front of a couple hundred radio professionals, like management, personalities, owners, whatever. And there's our stupid logo with you and I, real life muscles.
Right, that was my thing. Make sure you tell everybody that's exactly what our bodies look like.
And, dude, when that picture popped up, I could hear some people going, oh. You know, like, there were some people laughing. Some people were like, what the F? It was awesome.
I just like the idea that more radio people are tuning into this one.
Right, and this is going to be the recap of how wasted we were.
Right.
It's not even any content.
Right. I was like, I got stories. Does that count as content?
I know. We're going to talk about all the crazy stuff that you did at Summer Meltdown. We have to talk about my experience. I mentioned a little bit about it on BJ and Migs, but I want to definitely share it with you about our encounter with a dead person and me seeing two guys do something very inappropriate in a bathroom at 3 in the morning. So we got that to talk about.
More inappropriate than our trip to San Fran years ago?
On par. And
on
I
par?
Thought of you. I thought of you, and I reacted the exact same way. I can't wait. And then the only thing I have that is of actual content, I pulled up a story that says, and I don't even know if we're going to get to it, it's an article about what the male porn star interview process is like. So that's what we got. This is our big chance to be noticed by professionals.
Difference makers, decision makers, taste makers.
And all we got for you is festivals, dead people, and male porn stars.
Buckle up.
Time to get the heart racing, the blood pumping, and the brain
functioning.
You know how we do.
Oh, it's been a while.
We need it. Get 10, Mega Family. 10 push-ups to get ready for this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
2, 3.
And they stay there. And they stay there.
Chris going in on the verse, cause I've never been defeated and I won't stop now. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it, my folks locked down. I never went nowhere, what they saying, Luda's back. Blame it on that contour, the hood call it Luda Yak. And I'm on this foolish track, so I spit my foolish flow. My hands go up and down, like strippers' booties go. My verse will still be serving, cause all I do,
I mean, all we're still winning, Steve.
We are. We will continue to win until September 1st. And then we should probably do push-ups to Beck's Loser.
And they stay there.
That's my rap contribution. Turn my headphones up, sir.
Turn my headphones, sir.
Gentlemen, I don't believe my headphones are loud enough.
Hey, yo. Please, sir. Can you turn my headphones off?
Ted Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
The most polite rapper.
Right. Check one, two. Yeah. Could I get some more bass?
Please.
Oh, man. The Ted Talk this week, a pretty simple one. And how should I explain this? I want you to go out and I want you to find the happy place that's happy for you. You know, I don't want you to go out and just do... you know, your friends might be into something and you might be into it, but don't force it. If that's not your thing, like, go out, try different things. Maybe go to a festival.
Yes.
You know,
I would love to.
Maybe visit Atlanta.
Yes, you know, I have.
Right? Like, whether it's Crater Lake or this and that. And if you go do this stuff, like, you know, get into it. Don't be afraid of it. You know, sometimes I look at, like, the festivals that I've been going to for years and I'm like, man, those people look so much cooler and this and that. And then I realized, like, after a while of going to them, like, I'm one of those people, too.
Right. They're not looking cool. They're just hopped up on some kind of hallucinogenic dancing.
Yeah. Or they're just wearing Thai fisherman pants like I was for 30 hours. You know, like you get into this stuff. But honestly, man, I think all that stuff is good for your soul. It cleanses it. And it just makes it makes the rest of life a little bit easier. Knowing that you have that personal outlet where you can go have that fun.
Absolutely.
And go and express yourself in a different way.
I think you're 100% right. And I think when anything, like, I know, my wife always points it out, and I think it's cool that she does, because it's nice when she notices how awesome I am as an individual. You know, I think she should
do
that.
The most awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you please turn my headphones up and tell me how awesome I am, sir? But, like, anything I do, and I think this is important, like, you know, do these things that are fun and do things that are maybe a little bit different out of your comfort zone, but go into it 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, anything. My wife will always say, like, at least no matter what I ask you to do, you never act like as if it's a chore. Even though sometimes in the back of my head, I'm like, crap, I got to do this. But it's like, you know what? You could be the miserable person in the corner, not feeling like being at that party or that event, or you can just embrace it and just put on your best attitude. And quite possibly by doing that, you will actually have a good time.
Yeah. I mean, it might just be something as simple as a dinner pick.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not your first choice and she chose it. Now you can go to that restaurant and pout the entire time.
Right.
And you know what? Your meal will suck. You know it's going to suck. Or you could go in there, try to order something a little bit different than you might normally, and who knows? You might actually like it.
Hell, like even television, man. My wife wants to watch Grey's Anatomy. All of a sudden I'm watching it, and sometimes she's like, you are getting a little too intense about this show. I'm like, I'm either all in or I'm all out.
I thought Grey's Anatomy was over.
Oh, it never ends.
It's still on TV?
Yes.
You know, I do a TV segment. I should know that.
Yeah, you should.
I swear to God, I thought that show was... How long's that show been on the air? Like
forever.
11 years?
It never ends. I mean, it's awesome, bro. It actually is an entertaining show, but right now, they've lost a couple clutch members of the
McDreamy's gone, right?
Yeah. And McSteamy.
There was a McSteamy, too?
Yeah, he was like the bad boy version of that guy. Eric Dane.
I guess you just don't want to be McCreamy?
Oh, there's a McCreamy, all right. It's all the women that work there. Okay, we've gotten a little too...
Steve, there's professionals listening to this one. Will you keep it on the tracks?
Damn it, you're right. Maybe we should just do it over. I'm kidding. We were joking about rap stuff. I do want to bring this up because I was just... When you walked into the office, I was sucked into... Dumb rap wars.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see this. I mean, I know what happens in the rock world, so I'm not trying to make it like, hey, we're crapping on rap, because I've seen it. Like, you know, I think it's stupid when, like, the guys from the Black Keys and the guy and Jack White are arguing over stuff. I think, you know, or when the Black Keys guys, it seems like the Black Keys are always the problem, are grooving on Nickelback or whatever it may be. I'm always just like, you know, what does it matter? Like, why are you getting all worked up about another group, another artist? But right now, I was watching some stupid video about, I guess, Joe Budden has some issues with Drake. And then apparently for a while people thought that there was going to be a big rap battle between Eminem and Drake. Because
yeah, that was more Twitter.
Yeah, but somehow it got... And all this happened because of a New York hip-hop station that kind of led people into that direction, thinking that because, well, I guess Budden is a part of Eminem's crew in a way. Label kind of a thing. So they thought, well, Eminem, of course, is going to step up and support his guy by getting into a rap war. And I'm like, God, this is so stupid. And I'm glad that both Eminem and Drake apparently also think it's stupid, because when Drake was in Detroit just the other day, who did he bring up on stage? Eminem. So up until that moment, everyone's thinking, well, this is going to be this epic rap battle between the two. And it was quite the opposite.
Detroit! Detroit, make some noise for the greatest rapper to ever get on a motherfucking microphone that goes by the name of Eminem. Legendary tonight.
I mean, this is a straight up serious rap war right now.
Well, the other thing is too, let's be honest, Drake has hits, but lyrically, he's not getting into a battle with Eminem.
No, he definitely took the smart road high road.
There's not too many people out there that want to rap battle Eminem, period.
I was going to say, there is a certain screw loose in that guy's head that I don't know if you want to go down that road.
Yeah, well, and some rappers are really good battlers, but aren't going to make hits. Some guys can make a hit, but aren't really going to battle.
But I'm paying attention to this, and when you walked in, I'm watching like an hour-long interview where like this, all this stuff is just being dredged up, and it's like, okay, like can you guys talk about something else? Like, I don't get that world, man.
It's the New York world.
It is. You're absolutely right.
So like, read it, like, you know. Right, like obviously, I love rap. When I grew up around the D.C. area, that's sure. all I listened to. Right, so then you move out here to Seattle and work on a rock station as big as KSW. There's
That's how you and I bonded when we both realized that we were both Kid and Play fans, and you were more of a Kid guy and I'm more of a Play guy, and we're like, well, we can coexist.
Yeah, it's like, do you want to come over and watch the house parties?
Yes, of course I do. Which one? I've got two.
Right. But right, like sometimes in Seattle, people get so worked up about like, well, this band was really better because of this and that. But it's just because there's so much history with the Seattle bands, you could have that argument. And sometimes with the New York guys, and I've said that even when I lived on the East Coast, like for years, like there were, remember like the Hot 97 Summer Jam?
Yeah.
Something always happened there. Somebody was going to start beef. You know, somebody says, you know, what's 50 Cent? I'm about dollars. You know, that started a whole beef. So I think part of it is just their culture. And it's just like, it's like they have to beef. When you work in hip hop radio in New York, you got to beef with people.
And you have this certain aura, and the rappers that it seems like that are on that level that show up on those shows and also jump into that drama. There's such an aura of self-importance. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, gosh, man, I don't think I could ever do. Well, I mean, I'm not like anyone's asking me to. Maybe these radio professionals that are listening might try and recruit us, Ted.
Yeah.
But I could never do that style of radio, like New York hip hop radio, where it's like all about beef and it's all about trying to create drama about the dumbest crap.
No. Plus, if I worked at one of those, you know, there's like two, like the main ones, I think, in New York City.
Yeah.
If I worked at one of those stations and all the beef's jumping off, I'd probably just be going from room to room like, listen, Joel Santana, man, like, I love you, dude. Let's not do this here. You know, like, let me go over there and talk to the dude. Like, Dipset's cool with me, and so is Joe Budden. I mean, like, what am I supposed to say here?
Can't we just have a group hug?
Right? You guys ever been to a festival? I think we could work a lot of this out.
You guys ever heard of Summer Meltdown? I promise you, by 3 a.m., you're going to want to go up there and rap about fun things.
Yeah.
About how much you like that guy.
You ever spent a day on the river just enjoying life?
Let's take a quick break and talk about your day on the river.
All right.
Enjoying life.
Yeah.
When the Megacast gets back.
If I was a human, all I would do is bang, bang. The Megacast will be back.
From the makers of Ice Road Truckers comes another exciting look at our life on the highways. Regular Road Truckers. Join long hauler Bobby Ray Calhoun as he rumbles through America looking for love.
I'm just going to pull into this rest stop and find a lot lizard that'll touch me for a dollar.
Adventure.
You in the mood for jerky? I love jerky. Let's get some jerky.
Danger.
Sorry, was I supposed to talk here?
Friendship.
Come in, Smoky Stack. I'm here in Dubuque. You? Over?
I'm in Tucson. Over.
Oh, that's cool.
And relaxation.
Woo. That'll keep me awake for another 22 hours.
Regular Road Truckers. If you thought it couldn't get any crazier than Ice Road Truckers, you're right.
You want to listen to some Skynyrd? Or some other tape?
I want Ted and Steve to return. I also want to be a human, but I'm stuck being a robot. The Megacast is back.
What are we saying? Are we scooting or scooing?
I don't know. But we should be the Scoot Scoot guys.
We're in. We wanted to be them boys with Was it Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We wanted to be the two random bald white guys in that video in Pittsburgh.
And we still haven't heard from him yet. Wait for us to go on New York and blow it up.
Yeah, Wiz. What's up, dude?
Yeah. We're calling you out, man.
Yeah, that was our theme for a year.
Yeah. Now we want to be the Scoo-Scoo guys for Made in Tyo. Do you know that? Made in T-Y-O.
Manti Te'o? For sure he's a football player, Steve, that has an invisible girlfriend. Or used to.
I've seen the guy's video. I don't think he's made in Tokyo.
Well, I just think that's a good position for us to start our hip-hop musical careers.
Scoot.
Yeah. Like, if wouldn't it be... Dude, I would be in full velour, like, gold rope chain. And just like, what do you do? I'd be like, well, do you listen to hip-hop? Yeah, of course I do. You recognize this?
Scoot.
That's me and my boy Steve.
If that's what we're gonna do, then I'm giving up the whole trying to eat healthy, working out. I'm letting myself go. I'm getting a giant gut, and I'm gonna pull the security from Snoop Dogg tactic. And I'm wearing that jumpsuit with you, but the jacket's off, draped around my shoulders like a cape, and I'm rubbing my stomach the whole time. Scoot.
What did he say to you that was like the meanest thing? Are you supposed to be here?
It's like, who the F are you? I'm like, oh, I'm here to interview Snoop. And I had all my stuff set up at the table. He goes, F, no, you're not. Get out of here. I'm like, all right, Mr. Snoop Dogg security guy. Good talk.
Good talk. See you out there, player.
Tell Snoop I said hi. Deuces.
Scoot. I guess I should. Scoot. Scoot.
What is that, man?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. So let's talk a little bit about Summer Meltdown. I saw pictures. I follow Summer Meltdown on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
So, of course, I'm going through all the pictures, and then I looked on the hashtag of a hashtag Summer Meltdown. I just kept hoping that I would see a picture of Ted in his festival mode with, like, a bunch of hot chicks.
So the only picture that I've been wondering about, you got to keep in mind, there was about a... 20-hour period where I'm literally wearing those Thai fisherman pants and like I don't know what you call that hat, but it's real round and it comes to a point. I
mean, it's a sombrero.
No, but like the Asian one. I mean, it looks like I looked like a Thai
Jesus
fisherman.
Christ, dude. Right? What are you doing?
Dude, I've gone full festival mode.
I know you have.
But I also ran into our buddy Jason. The Plur Panther.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I ran into him Friday night, Steve. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right.
This is what I had to show you.
Oh, boy. Ted brought a gift in with something for show and tell. I'm so excited. All right, now I don't see Ted. Now I see him. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
You have what is like a beaded necklace with a giant pendant at the bottom of it.
Yep, in the shape of a diamond.
Oh, I was going to say in the shape of the Superman logo, but you're right. It is a diamond.
Yeah.
And it says LARP on.
It says LARP on within it, right?
Because
that's the hashtag for my podcast, the podcast.
Yes.
And then also you'll notice he made the whole thing in the Maryland State flag colors.
Oh, nice.
There's a turtle on it. And then my first fake ID was Sal Tapio, and the name Sal Tapio is on it.
Are you kidding me?
No.
That guy... I mean, that's more thoughtful than any girlfriend, including my current wife, has ever done as a gift. Like, that's the most thoughtful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Marry him.
It's first piece of Plur. So, right, the Thai fisherman pants, this thing.
So, wait, this is your first piece of Plur. What does that mean?
Well, Steve, peace, love.
Unity?
Is it unity?
Yeah. I don't know.
Peace, love.
Underoos?
Peace, love, unity, respect.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, so, I always heard that. I know that term. But so
it's big in the EDM world.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that. Like by getting a piece, like a necklace, that's a Plur piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check it out, man.
Wow.
So I'm rocking those Thai fisherman pants and stuff,
dude. I don't even. Like my eyes are bugging just looking at this thing. This is awesome,
dude. It was insane, man.
So you wore this the whole time? I would hope.
I wore it a couple nights. I wore it Friday and Saturday.
Sal Tapia, with a little heart on it, and then a turtle.
Yeah.
Christ almighty.
But the best was in those fisherman pants, right? Like, I just had convinced myself that my butt looked awesome in them, and I was, like, doing booty dances and stuff.
You were twerking?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
So then I'm walking by. It's, like, sunrise, and there's this couple there and sitting in a chair by my RV, and the girl's like, why do you have my necklace on? And I was like, oh, my bad. Like, can I hang on to it a little bit longer? She's like, yeah. And then as I walk away, she's like... We could see what you're doing with your butt or something in those pants. So I like start popping off a little bit, right?
Just for those that don't know what's going on right now, Summer Meltdown is this big festival.
Correct. It's four nights.
And I finally saw pictures of like the size. I did not realize it was as big as it
this
is.
This was the biggest one it's ever been.
Because it sold out.
Yeah.
And it looked like well over 10,000 people were there.
It was seven.
Okay.
But usually it's about four. So this one was packed.
So it was well over 6,000 people there. I'm like so confident saying it's well over 10,000. You're like, no, there was seven, you awful mathematician.
Well, no, just because we were blown away. Like, there's 7,000?
Dude, it looked huge.
It was massive. But when I walked back by those people, I was making mimosas because it was sunrise.
Right.
And you can't bring glass. So I brought canned champagne.
So you were booty popping your mimosas?
Right. So I was like, here, I made you guys mimosas. And they were like, for real? I was like, yeah. And then I was walking back by and I heard him go, shaking that ass. And I just stopped. I was like, shaking it again. I mean, it was awesome. I saw him later in the beer garden that night, and I was like, Taryn, get over here. These are the people that like my butt.
God, I mean, it's great. This is so awesome.
Right?
So awesome. But just so like, many random things that make no sense outside of the festival world.
None right. whatsoever.
Like, you would never have any of these kind of encounters, any of these kind of conversations. It just wouldn't happen. Like, you wouldn't be going to a Mariners game, and someone says, hey, man, I see what you're doing with your ass. Keep shaking that thing.
Yeah. Or like I popped out of my RV once and I just got done showering. So I just have on shorts, no shirt, no shoes or socks. And this girl just walks by and she goes, how you doing? And before I could say like, she goes, I know how you're doing. Sexy.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to go to one of these, man.
I was just like, that was so nice. Like I was like, I'm back in my trailer or my RV going, she's right. I am sexy. This is going to be a great night.
What a great way to start your day.
Right?
Being told awesome. You're sexy at a festival?
Yeah.
When you're wearing just fisherman pants?
The only photo that I'm a little worried about is like my buddy Cobb, who I do the podcast with. Cobb right. is a very attractive man.
Yeah.
So at one point, like they have like the official photographers and we're down on the beach party at Bacon Point. And the girl's like, you guys should get together and take a picture. So I'm like, yeah. So like as like my arms are going around like the other three dudes, I realize like all these other three dudes are not even just like in shape, but like shredded.
Right.
Like magazine shredded. And I was like, they don't need to post that one.
They look like the U.S. swim team.
They look right. They look like the U.S. swim team.
And you look like the U.S.
bowling ball team.
Drinking on his couch team. Right. See, I need to be there so that way it kind of evens the gap. Like, you know what I mean? Have you and I shirtless. That makes it a lot cooler than you, which is a bunch of muscle guys.
Yeah. But that's the other crazy thing.
I want to go so I can be shirtless with you, Ted.
Yeah. Well, do it. And then nobody cares.
That's my kind of people.
Yeah. That's part of the like the R and like the plur. It's just like, man, do whatever you want. Like, nobody's going to give
sounds...
you any grief or this or that or make fun of you for what you're wearing. Or that's what I'm saying. Like festival stuff isn't for everybody. For me, I found a niche that works very well for me, and I go be as weird as I want.
Right, the zero F's given mentality. Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at the utmost, but not being a jerk about it. You just, nobody cares about how they look, and everybody's cool with that.
Yeah, and I mean, the beer garden at times is so crowded. You've never seen a friendlier group of people, and you bump into anybody before you can turn to be like, oh man, I'm so, like, they're already like, sorry. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, like, of course we're all apologizing. Right. We're festival people.
We're all in the love mode.
Right. There's nobody like, just like, oh, let me through this crowd.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah, that's the other funny thing, too. Like, sometimes the lines are long to get a beer in the beer garden. And like, my buddy's going, dude, we're in the dancing line. And the whole time we're dancing in the line, it's like, he's like, I told you, dancing lines always take longer. But then we had a 10-minute conversation about,
I was about
like,
to say, you could just BS with people. Nobody cares. Nobody's like hell-bent on getting a beer.
No.
Like when we were in Atlanta, man, like the bar, we kept warning them every night. We're like, yo, there are a lot of radio people. Radio people will stay up all night and drink. That's just what we do. And we met so that tomorrow have maybe more than one bartender. Tomorrow comes.
What was this, the hotel bar?
Yeah, hotel bar.
Yeah.
It would take you like 45 minutes just to get one drink. It got to the point where one of the guys we know went to the Kroger, the grocery store, across like about a mile away, went all the way there, bought a bunch of 24-packs, brought them back to his hotel room, or bottles, that way he could go up to his room, grab them, come back down and give them to all of us, so that way we didn't have to go buy beers.
Nice!
Because the line was that long. So, yeah, I mean, but so in that situation, everyone's getting pissed. Yeah. Because all we have is alcohol.
Yeah.
In your situation, it's festival life, man. If we're waiting in line, we might as well just dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody was dancing.
But remember, dancing lines do take longer. I prefer them, Steve. I like to dance while I'm in line, but they do take a little longer.
I'll be honest. If I had to pick a dancing line or just a straight up beer line, I'm going dancing line every time.
Yeah. I also, too, I was like, I'm so mature because I would get vodka Red Bulls. Doubles? Mm. No. Just singles.
Right. Let's not get crazy here.
Yeah.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
That was like my standard order. Like vodka Red Bull, a bottle of water.
Chug a
bottle of water. Go have your cocktail.
Mix in a water.
Oh, got it. Got to stay hydrated.
Any, however much that you remember, I would imagine you remember everything because you were stone cold sober.
Yeah.
Any like particular memories? I remember last year it was like there was, I think, the Dolphin Girl.
Oh, we saw Dolphin Girl.
She was there again?
Yeah, but now she's hooked up with Shark Dude. Shark Guy.
Shut up.
Shark. See, so this is another funny thing.
Tell me that Shark Man or Shark Boy.
Shark Boy. I think Shark Boy is what we're calling him.
Shark Boy was Shark Boy before he met Dolphin Girl.
We don't know.
Ah.
But there was all this talk about Dolphin Girl, and we were down at Bacon Point. Now, the other half of our crew was a little bit farther up near in the Ducate River part of the section where wild Ducates float the river. My buddy was catching them. It was delicious. That sounds so stupid now. He just made a little pool where he was keeping them cold. You're
keeping his Ducates?
Yeah, but I didn't realize that he had made the pool. And I was just like, what are you doing out here? And he's a fireman. And Lance, rookies up the river. They let him float down here. I just pull him right here. And I was like, oh, he's catching wild Ducates in the river.
Jesus Christ almighty, I need to come to this festival. It sounds like my kind of people.
So my boy AC is like, dude, bad news. Dolphin Girl's linked up with Shark Boy. And he's like, you got no chance. He's got the coolest haircut. He's riding a shark. Like, no shot, right? So this, fast forward like an hour and a half later, we finally walk the other 200 yards up to Ducate part of the river.
Do you realize how ridiculous all of this sounds?
Does it sound that bad?
This is completely ridiculous. Why would a shark hang out with a dolphin? They would eat it.
I guess you're right. We think
maybe he does after hours.
We just assume that they were mating and to make one super river creature.
A dolphin?
A shark?
Or a dark?
Everybody's got the pizza and donut floats too. At one point, I just looked up. It's like I'm watching Monday walk by because I'm going to eat both of those.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, but by the time we got up to where the Ducates are, everybody's like...
At Bacon Point.
Well, Bacon Point's the main point, yeah. Everybody's like, dude, I heard there's Shark Boy down there and he has the coolest haircut on the beach.
So what was his haircut?
Oh, he had like...
Did he have the Macklemore hair?
No, he had like the cool like EDM hair where it's kind of long on top and then half the head was shaved with like lines in it.
Gotcha.
So there was a dispute whether it was cool or it was douchey, and I was like, I thought it was cool, but I'm bald. I think a lot of haircuts are cool.
Yeah, I'm game with any kind of hairstyle. When you're bald, you respect everybody's hair game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, just stuff like that. You're
that
right,
is
this
so
sounds
funny.
So asinine now that I've told the story.
No, but I love it. That's why I love asking questions about the festival, because I mean, I've never done Summer Meltdown, but you and I have done like festival type mentality and partied in that way. And
yeah.
When you share these stories with people who don't ever experience that kind of lifestyle, it's so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had Giggle Camp for like 2 hours.
What is Giggle Camp?
It was just in between my RV and my friend's RV. And there was just like four of us in there. And I don't know what we got started on. Oh, we started talking about slimy salami. Because somebody left their salami in their cooler and it got waterlogged. So Brad was like, does anybody want some? And we were like, get your slimy salami out of here. And at that point, Giggle Camp was just on for 2 hours.
I'm sober and I think Giggle Camp sounds awesome.
It was phenomenal, dude.
Giggle Camp.
You know when you're just laughing so much and it's like, oh, my cheeks hurt.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, absolutely, dude.
Yeah.
That is so great.
Yeah, that's Giggle Camp.
Man, I missed out on that.
Yeah, you gotta go.
I know. It sucks that it's always the same weekend as our radio convention, and it's like so hard to, you know, and then we had Guns N' Roses over the weekend as well.
Yeah.
There's so much crap going on, and of course, everybody and their sister is on Facebook talking about how awesome Guns N' Roses is.
Like, correct.
People that I know and whose opinion about music I fully 100% respect are on Facebook going, greatest concert I've ever been to. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
That hurts. Like, could you at least say it was a really good show, and that's it? It got so bad. I got, I don't know if you ever met Joe Tafoya. He used to be a Seahawk. Does a lot of cool stuff in the community.
Yeah.
I got him a pair of tickets for the concert, because we were talking. He's like talking about how he didn't know if he could go, and I'm like, I have an extra pair, because I can't go. Do you want them? He's like, really? And so that was cool. I finally got to the point where I felt like, okay, I'm done hearing everybody talk about how awesome the show is. I was feeling better. Yesterday, my phone rings, and it's Joe. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what he's got to talk about, but oh, I'm, of course, going to answer. He's my buddy. Answer the phone. He's like, Migs. I'm like, what's up, Joe? Did I catch you at a bad time? I'm like, no, man, what's going on? So I'm thinking maybe it's like something about work or whatever. He goes, that was the greatest effing show I've ever been to, man. I'm like, I just wanted to hang up on you. I just want to hang up on you. I hate you.
At least you were in Atlanta.
Right.
I was pumped to see Keys and Crates and Grizz and was a couple hundred yards away at the campsite and just like never saw a minute of them.
Never saw a certain, not a song.
Nope.
Did you see A-Ron Jones at all?
I saw A-Ron. I saw Blue Scholars, Flow Motion, Sunday Night, yeah. STS-9. I watched Beats Antique. I mean, I saw a lot of shows.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is I was there. Keys and Crates is going to be my show.
That is awesome.
And at one point, we're walking around, and my buddy Joe, the mayor, looks at me and goes, man, I don't think you're going to see Keys and Crates. And I go, nah, I've given up on that. And then you hear the music stop, and he goes, and they just finished.
Dude, it's funny. You're talking about festival lifestyle. I think back, and I just saw this on Facebook, and it completely blew my mind. 20 years ago, right around this time, starting yesterday, but it went for a whole weekend, was the Clifford Ball. Big festival with Fish at my college, Plattsburgh State University in New York. And their version of King 5, their channel, you know, their NBC affiliate, just posted archive footage of a news piece that they did 20 years ago, and it's showing everybody, and my buddies from college and I are all joking. They're like, it's kind of weird, but nobody's fashion has really changed at a Fish concert. Like, you could show that video right now and you would think it was at a Fish show right now.
100%.
Like, dreadlocks, the baggy clothes, the comfy clothes, like, you know.
One point this weekend, I was like, God, I'm an idiot. Why do I not have a fanny pack?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm not prepared for this.
You don't understand this festival life, man.
Oh.
So I'm reading the comments, and one person commented, I was working the gate, and then after I was done working the gate, I went to the show, and I don't remember much after that. And I was like, I never comment on someone who I don't know's comment, but I had a comment on it, because I'm like, I was a gatekeeper, too, and I don't remember anything after it as well, because all the shirts said gatekeeper on the back, and we all thought that was awesome, because it's like a little bit of a nod to Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I'm the gatekeeper. But I'm reading everybody's comments about it that were there, and there are so many people. Because it was like, I think like 250, maybe 400,000 people. It was ridiculous.
Holy
the whole weekend.
Cow.
They took over an abandoned Air Force base in Plattsburgh, New York, and it became a city. Like, it was like Burning Man. Yeah. And it was insane. And like, our fraternity house was just a few blocks away. And I remember the best and worst thing we ever decided to do was tell everybody, we put a big sign on a giant piece of wood. We spray painted it and it said, Fish fans, welcome. Man, our house was full. Like,
yeah.
I mean, from people from all across the country, which was cool, but it was like, we can't get any of them to leave. Like, they're living now in our house for this weekend. The ones that didn't have a campsite.
100%.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, legit, I'd wake up, I'd come down the stairs, and there were people passed out on the beer-soaked floor just sleeping. And I had to climb over people to get out of the house, to get to the Air Force base to be a gatekeeper.
To work your shift.
Right. And of course, right before I leave, there's someone on our porch, and I'm like, hey, man. He's like, hey, man, this is your house? I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's so cool you let us stay here. I'm like, yeah, no problem, man. We'll see you later. And he's like, here. And he gives me a bong to smoke some pot. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's the way you're going to be. If you're going to be a gatekeeper at a Fish show, you might as well be stoned.
Yeah.
And so then I went off and did a bunch of nitrous and all this crazy stuff.
We've updated it now, Steve.
Yeah.
Now we do AM dabs.
AM dabs.
Yeah.
I like it.
AM dabs.
And you even have a song for it.
Well, that's just stealing an old Saturday Night Live skit, AML.
But the whole time, I was dying reading all these comments because everybody had the same exact thing. That was the best weekend ever. I don't remember any of it, but I remember it was awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I kind of remember that too. I remember passing out at one point during the show because they did like three sets, like 9 hours of music each day. And then they would drive around on a flatbed truck in the campsite at night and just like a small stripped down acoustic set, Fish. Like,
yeah, and just, that's awesome.
And people would follow him like in the movie Rocky when Rocky's running and the kids are chasing.
100%. I would follow him all night.
Right. You just walk around. And I remember, though, passing out and thinking that I was at a Beatles concert in my dreams. Mind you, I had a lot of mushrooms at that point, and I just collapsed. Right. And I was like, and then I wake up, and I'm like, guys, you won't believe this. I was at a Beatles concert. And they're like, no, Fish did a whole set of Beatles songs.
So you were there.
Yeah, you missed it, but you saw it.
Nice.
You heard it, but you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude.
Yeah, so, subsets are meant to be watched on the ground or in like a zero gravity chair.
Yeah, you just never know.
These things happen.
Were you on a zero gravity chair?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to talk about that when we get back. I have to ask you about that because that sounds awesome.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, when the Megacast gets back, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about my experience seeing a dead guy and two guys doing something very inappropriate in a bathroom in Atlanta.
Nice.
Megacast. Shoop, shoop.
Too much is never enough, especially when it comes to LOL. The Megacast will be back.
Everybody loves Facebook, but lately, what was once funny laughing baby videos and pictures of half-eaten meals has become a place of discord, arguing, and name-calling, all because of one thing, politics. Now there's a brand new app from Facebook. It's called Unsolicited Politics You Obnoxiously Use Really Stupidly, or Up Yours. Now, when someone rails on your preferred presidential candidate, you can tell them, hey, Up Yours. Plus, for the non-political, there's another new Facebook app called Social Unity Creates Knowledge in Truth, or Suck It. Next time someone says, post this on your wall or a baby duckling will die, just tell them, hey, Suck It. The new Facebook mobile apps. It's like Pokemon Go, just without the exercise.
When this dude tries to sing, he sounds more robotic than thee. The beat is dope as f- though. The Megacast is back.
Got a family to feed, got a family to feed. They depending on me. Depending on me. If you don't believe in me, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, yeah.
Hey!
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 I love when they do the radio edits or the clean version for those that want to buy it at Walmart. And they put zero effort into it now. They just completely just delete the word. And it just sounds like someone that has a stuttering problem. Rapping.
And, yeah, and some of them, especially if you're going to like, like, look, I don't run around using the N-word, but, like, there's certain rap songs. If you bleep out every N-word, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Like, don't even put to bother buying that record. Like, because all you're going to hear, like, can you imagine, remember the DMX song? I mean, literally, you know, what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, every other word would just be a blank spot.
Right, at that point, and I understand why they want to do it so they could sell the records in stores that aren't going to sell explicit lyrics and all that crap. But at that point, as the hip-hop artist or the rock guy, whoever it is, when you go into the studio and just re-record it with tamer, you know what I mean? Like, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, as an artist, you probably don't want to do that. But I would think that's way more credible than just completely cutting out the word. I mean, why would you want your fans to have, like, if the only way your fans are going to be able to listen to records is because they're a kid and a parent's going to buy the record. And the only way they could hear it is if it's a clean version. Wouldn't you want them to hear something that at least sounds like a song?
Yeah, and like, look, at the end of the day, you could buy your teenagers all the clean records you want.
Oh, they're going to still find it.
Right, it's so much easier for them now. I mean, I remember being like, I don't know, it was 12 or 13, and my cousin sharing a headphone apiece listening to NWA, what was it, Straight Outta Compton,
yep,
and we
yep.
reached like, oh my God.
This is awesome.
That or the Chronic.
Yeah. And at this point, with the world that we're in, Ted, and that everything is all with these streaming sites like Spotify or Apple Music or Tidal. I mean, I don't think that one's doing all that well, but I mean, how are you going to...
the guy that doesn't like Kanye, I guess.
That's right. You know, me and him, we got beef.
Thought you loved The Life of Pablo.
Not anymore.
All right, my bad.
I don't know. I haven't even listened to it, man.
Yeah, actually, either have I.
You know what the sad thing is? Oh, God, we're going on a quick... All right, who cares? My wife watches those Kardashian shows, so I come back from Atlanta, and there is like a marathon going on. And I know that it's all... There's a lot of scripted stuff going on in that show. But Kanye comes off as one of the nicest, most likable guys on that show that you'll ever see.
Now, is that... speak to him, or does that speak to the Kardashians?
I don't know. You're right. You're right.
Out of that group, I believe. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, I always say this. Kanye, that ego was what he needed to make him Kanye West. Because for years, Jay-Z, nobody, he was just the producer. They wouldn't let him on the records.
You're not good enough to be, I mean, it's like back in the day, that's why me and him are so much alike.
Yeah, I always talked about that. So he needed that ego.
Yeah.
And he's right. Like, he is an egomaniac, but on the same token, he's done a lot of amazing stuff. I mean, what he's done in the fashion world, I don't get it, but he's made, I'm just saying, like, I'm not a fashion dude, but he's made inroads that no other rapper has and this and that. So, I mean, part of it, it's like, yeah, he is a giant egomaniac, but part of it has really worked to his benefit.
You're right. I mean, I remember when the first time I really realized that we went back home to Brooklyn, and, you know, the neighborhood I grew up in is definitely, it's a lot different than Seattle. You know what I mean? And we're walking around the mall, and I'm like, wow, Kanye really has changed fashion for the hip-hop culture. Like, it was, everything was like super bright colors, lime green, skinny jeans, like just a whole different way than when I grew up in Brooklyn and the way that people would dress. It was it was mind-blowing.
I mean, I wear tighter jeans now, but I mean, right at 35, like, you know, when I was growing up, it had to be baggy. That was the style. So it's still almost hard for me to wrap my mind around, like, man, not only is it like hipsters, but like rappers wear skinny jeans too.
No, now I'm at the point where I'm like, it's too baggy. And it's not baggy at all. They're like slim fit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need it tighter. I need them tighter around my calves.
Yeah.
Got to show it off.
Got to show off your butt like I do in my tie pants.
Doing that little butt wiggle. Shake that ass, Ted. Shake it.
Shaking that ass.
So you were on a zero gravity chair at the festival.
Yeah. Our buddies bring like
I've never done one of those.
Now, it's not the ones that go, you're not inverted.
Okay.
So your feet aren't hanging up, but it takes you, it sits you back just enough that there's zero gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I always got to like put my knees in my chest to even get it to rock back. So yeah, like when I missed Keys and Crates or Grizz, people kept going on and on about Grizz. I missed his whole set too. But I was just sitting in a zero gravity chair, like drinking water. I think it was probably chugging some beers too.
Nice.
And I was just like, this is so peaceful and great.
Sometimes you got to miss out on some stuff. It's going to be all right. It goes completely against the TED Talk, but, you know, you got to miss out on some stuff sometimes.
Well, my happy place sometimes is just listening to the music from the campground, Steve.
That's a good point on your zero gravity chair.
Yeah. It's just funny because all weekend, Keys and Crates. You totally miss Keys and Crates. I know.
Yep. I've done that before where I'm hell-bent on seeing a certain artist, and I go like a festival, and I just never make it to that show. That's why, like, I'm hell-bent on seeing Anthrax, and I'm terrified I won't see Anthrax at Pain in the Grass.
I feel like Pain in the Grass is an easier mission to go do stuff, though.
Sure.
Because we're kind of working and everything. Right. You can't just go full festival mode. And
you can't just put on fisherman pants and a weird hat.
Right. And at Pain in the Grass, that wouldn't work.
No.
People would be like, what is he doing?
That's like, remember we were talking, Ted and I are planning on going to see Run the Jewels at Bumbershoot.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, should we bring back Bert and Ernie? And then I was like... You know, Bert and Ernie works at a fish crowd. I don't know if Bert and Ernie works at Bumbershoot.
Yeah, and I don't know that Bert and Ernie are the Run the Jewels crowd.
Yeah. Like, it seems like a great idea until we do it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, top story on King 5 News, Bert and Ernie got beat up.
I will say that this year was the most I think I've ever danced at a festival.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's always
grooving.
Fun.
It is.
You doing the wiggle?
Doing the wiggle.
In the giggle room?
Or like, I feel like I finally figured out like how to like dance to jam bands and look like I've seen one before.
Uh-huh.
It's like slow motion Sunday night. I was dancing a ton.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's fun, man. Like, you do it at weddings because it's one of, like, look, nobody's going to go to nightclubs after a certain age. You might go, but like, it's not like, it's mostly like 25 and under people.
Right. So or a 41-year-old radio guy in Atlanta.
Yeah. But it's fun. Like, I forget. Like, God damn it. I like dancing.
Yeah.
Dancing's fun.
Absolutely. That's what I used to love about going to raves. I wasn't a good dancer, but you really didn't need to be a good dancer because everybody was doing their own thing.
Right. So take like a rave, a smaller version of Burning Man, and then a fish concert. Throw them all together. That's what I was doing for 4 days.
So awesome.
Yeah, it was.
So in Atlanta, we ended up going to a club after some of the radio stuff was going on. And we were there for a little bit.
You went to a legit nightclub?
Yeah.
Nice.
You know me.
Awesome.
Just looking at hot chicks, dancing. It was great.
Were you booty popping?
I wasn't booty popping. I was just staring uncomfortably at people.
You should have thought people could have seen. I looked at Steve like you were booty popping.
I know, and Ted actually did the booty pop. It's nice. I understand why they said you do a good job of your booty pop. You are a great booty popper, Ted.
Thanks, dude.
Yep. So as we're leaving, we're getting out of there. We're like, okay, let's just go. It's like 2 a.m.
That's fair.
And there's a big crowd around the front door. And I'm like, well, what the hell? Why are you, what is going on here?
Are you in like Buckhead, like that part of Hotlanta?
Well, we're a little bit outside of Buckhead, but we're like maybe 10-minute drive out of Buckhead because that's where the hotel was.
All right, nice.
So there we are. I'm like getting a little bit closer to the door, and I'm like, wow, there's a guy on the ground. And I go, oh, there must have been a fight or something. But there's nobody like being aggressive. You know what I mean? Like there was no weirdness, nobody being held down. There was no like commotion. There's just a guy on the ground. And I'm like, okay, that's a little weird. And then we're talking to somebody, and it's a guy like about mid-50s, just lying, motionless. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, he was running out the door. And I think while he was running, he passed out. I'm like, weird. And as he passed out, he slammed his head against the door and knocked himself out cold.
Jesus.
Here's the thing. I was with a guy, one of our radio buddies, who was here in Seattle for a little bit. I think he was on Cube for a minute. This guy, Rico. And he's been around the whole country. I can't remember where. It's San Francisco, a bunch of places. And I'm looking at Rico, and Rico's looking at me. He goes, bro, that guy ain't breathing. I'm like, don't say that, man. He's like, he's not breathing, man. I'm like, come on, man. I want to just get some fast food and go home. I don't want to deal with this. He goes, no, we'll still get fast food, but I just want to let you know he's not breathing.
Is anybody calling, like, 911?
Yeah, there must have been. There was an ambulance coming. At least that's what I overheard.
So, like, it just happened?
Like, probably happened, like, maybe 3 or 4 minutes before we walked up to that.
All right.
And it was just like, but nobody was moving. Everyone's staring at the guy. And I have to agree with Rico. And I've checked a couple times on Google. I haven't heard anything or read anything because I'm trying to find out. But it looked like the guy was dead. Like, he was not moving at all. Like, it didn't look like he was breathing. He was just out. And I'm like, wow, this is weird. I'm really too effed up for this right now.
So, I mean, can you hear sirens in the distance?
No. Nothing.
And you guys just went and got fast food?
Well, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
I know. It was a really weird dilemma. Like, I even said, I'm like, ah. And I was like, someone even brought up the point because I'm like, I don't know. Maybe we should just go home. And they're like, well, I mean, I know it sounds weird, but I still want to go to Crystal's because Crystal's is like their version of White Castle.
Yeah, White Castle. I know. They're great.
And I was actually excited. We drove by it on the way to the club, and I'm thinking, oh, man, when we come back, we're going there.
Yeah.
So we go to Crystal's because we're a bunch of heartless individuals that
are drunk. Well, I get that, man. I go to Crystal's right now.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Have you gone to like a regular fast, you know, just any run-of-the-mill fast food you can find wherever?
Right.
I think it might give you some crap, but I mean, you're not going to go to a Crystal's up here.
Right. When else am I going to go? We can't let a dead man get in the way of this.
Now, there was people there.
Yeah. So we show, all right, they're waiting. Those people can handle it. Someone else's problem.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
It does.
I know.
It really does.
It's really bad. Hey, what do you want from me?
Right.
It's a product of the environment I was in. I blame Vicky.
Atlanta's changed you, bro.
It has, man. It hardened me.
It did.
Hardened me. That dirty South.
That dirty South.
That's what you see, man. You sometimes just leave clubs and people are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to just stay there and observe or do I want to eat my Crystals?
Probably lit up a White Owl, smoke that blunt, go to Crystals.
Yep. Shoop, shoop. So now we drive to Crystals. We're waiting in line forever. Like, forever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this is weird.
Dancing line, regular line?
Regular line. We're in a car.
Oh, yeah. Bummer.
We're in an Uber.
Oh, you're in Uber's drive-thru? Yes. Oh, man, that is going to take forever that time of
night. Oh, she's loving it, too. She's like, yeah, I'll take you guys. We're like, we'll buy you food. She's like, awesome. So we're hanging out. We're laughing. We're having a good time. But we're like, we have not moved an inch. Whenever we did move a little bit, is because another car bailed.
And no kidding.
So then we finally get out of the line, and then we second-guess ourselves. We're like, no, we shouldn't have gotten out of the line. So, but as we get out of line, everybody behind us got out of line. We drove around and went back in the line, and then we saw every other car get back in the line. Like they thought we knew something, so they followed us, and then they realized, oh, no, those idiots are just going back in line. So, again, we have not moved. Now everyone has to go pee. So everybody's going into Crystal's, which is open.
Why didn't anybody just go in and order?
Here's the thing. When we went in there, there are no employees. It's open, but there is not a single employee to be found.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That is weird, but you know the next question. Did anybody, like...
No, nobody... Maybe someone did that wasn't a part of our crew, but nobody thought, oh, let's go back there and just start making food.
Literally, there's no employees?
This is how bad it was, Ted. And I'll bounce back then about the bathroom story, because I want you to understand how crazy this was. So not there was not a single person with a Crystal shirt selling Crystal's burgers in that place, but it's open. So now there's a line inside the store, and it's starting to get a little restless. So I'm like, I ain't hanging out in this store. So we got back in the car. Now we leave there. Let's go to McDonald's.
All right.
Pull up to McDonald's, right? They got a sign. We're experiencing some computer issues. Not open. Okay, it's a 24-hour McDonald's. All right, let's move on. Burger King. Burger King's got to be open, right? 24 hours. Waiting in line. Finally get people keep leaving because they're like, we pull up to the drive-thru. There's a piece of paper with a handwritten note. I have it on my phone. I'll have to show it to you. And it just basically says, we'll be back at 3:15. Here's the thing.
What is going on?
I looked at my phone. It's 3:22 when we read that sign. So the cars in front of us kept waiting and waiting because they thought at 3:15 they would be back. The lady driving the Uber goes, oh, yeah, that's just how it is. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, they don't want to work this late. I'm like, so what are they doing? She's like, they're probably hiding in the back room. I'm like, so they're just hiding in the back room because they don't want to work. She's like, yep. What the F?
I've never heard of that in my life. Dude, minus like, I've heard stories like that of Hawaii.
Right.
Like you'll be in a grocery store and they're like, nah, it's my break, brother. But in Atlanta, they just don't work at that time.
And
huh?
This is all going on. We probably posted up around 2:20-ish is when we first started this endeavor to get crystals. And here it is now 3:20. This is going on for an hour of us waiting in lines and bouncing around. And every car, you saw the same cars. We're all bouncing around to different fast food establishments. And there's not a single person working. All we could think is, did everyone go on strike at the same time? Or is everybody out smoking pot that works at all these fast food places?
Jesus. It sounds like a weird movie.
It was very weird. So now we're in that line for crystals, right?
You're back over to crystals.
Right. And I'm like, well, I got to go pee now. So I go run to the bathroom. And I mean legit run to the bathroom because I'm like, all that alcohol is ready to come out.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm hustling to the bathroom, and it's those type of bathrooms that are single occupancy bathrooms. So you can lock the door behind you, and it shows that little green vacant or red, not vacant.
Yeah.
Or however it is, right? So it shows the green. It's vacant. I'm like, awesome. Thank God. Because one of the buddies I was with, he couldn't wait, so he went and peed in the women's bathroom, and we were all laughing about that. We're like, would you have to go to the, like, why would you do that? What if a woman showed up? He's like, I don't care. They could go to the boys' bathroom. Some one occupancy bathroom. It's unisex at that point. I'm like, all right, solid point. Walk in, and Ted was like out of a movie, and I thought of you immediately because it was San Francisco all over again. And for those that don't know, when we were in San Francisco and we might have been on mushrooms, we might not have been, but we might have been on mushrooms. I walk into a bathroom where in the stall I heard guys getting it on.
Yeah.
And I said, what is going on? And they said, you're in San Francisco, honey. Get used to it. And I bolted and told Ted we need to leave, and we did.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought of you when this happened. I walk in. There are two dudes in that bathroom. There's no stall. They're just standing, and they're not even by the toilet. They're not even by the urinal. They're just in the dead center part of this bathroom. One of them, and they're all clubbed out. One of them's got tight red pants, probably inspired by Kanye.
All right.
The other one's got tight blue pants, and not like blue jeans, like blue, like American flag color blue.
Yeah.
Right. He's got blue pants. Both of them, their belts are undone. Their zipper is unzipped. Their button is unbuttoned. And they're staring at each other. And they got their hands on their dongs. And they're just kind of like dong pressing, which I've learned now is called docking.
Docking.
Yes. They were docking. I walk in. And I was like, nothing made sense at this moment because I've already seen a dead body. I can't get fast food. And now I'm seeing two dudes doing something I had no idea existed and found out a day later that it's called docking. Like, I'm like, why? What are they doing? Like, what is this?
I learned that from Tosh.
Okay. So I'm staring. They don't know I opened the door yet. And that's when I don't know why, but I go, hey.
Got room for one more? Is this the International Space Station?
Do we have a third docking partner?
Right.
But it was like, hey. Like, I was confused, and I just wanted to go pee. But what? And they both turned their head at the same time. You know, like, because they're staring at each other, and they turn over their shoulder and just give me this look like, what's up? And I'm like, goodbye. Close the door. Now I'm like, God damn it, I got to pee still. So I, luckily the women's bathroom wasn't being used. I go in the women's bathroom, but now I'm like, I don't want to time this to walk out of the women's bathroom before those guys walk out. You know, I don't want to walk out at the same time. I'm very terrified by this.
Yeah.
So I wait in there for a while, but now I'm stressing. I'm like, what if a woman shows up? So I finally, I feel like I've waited long enough, and it probably was, because I finally get back into the car, and everybody's like, where the hell have you been? I'm like, these guys, they're like, what? And then one of the dudes is like, yeah, I saw those guys. They went in after me. They looked weird. And I'm like, well, yeah, they were pressing dongs. Oh, man, the whole car ride.
Pressing
we're
dongs.
I'm like, let's just go. So we leave.
No food? Did you stop at like 7-Eleven and get a sandwich?
No, by that point, dude, it was like 3:30. It just kind of had to throw in the towel. I almost ordered room service, and I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat this little box of Nerds I got from one of the conferences.
Bless you.
And that's my meal. A little box of Nerds.
No chips, huh?
No, nothing.
I mean, wow, it's a good story and has a lot of twists and turns. One of the most disappointing stories I've ever heard is in the end, it ends with you eating a set. Was it a full box of Nerds or the
like
little
Halloween
miniature?
Box of Nerds.
Oh, man.
They were purple.
And I mean, it's, well, that's a bonus.
It was.
I know you probably didn't need food at that time necessarily as much as you wanted it, but like that is a sad story. You had to look at a dead body,
right?
Wait in multiple lines. I'm still not sure if you ever peed and watched two guys dock each other.
I did get to pee.
All right.
So there was one success.
You stay, Atlanta.
Yep. And that, my friends, is why my trip was not nearly as awesome as Ted's.
So, yeah, you're going to come with me one summer.
I think I'm canceling this whole radio convention thing for the rest of my life. It's time to be Festival Steve.
One weird question.
Yes.
You say you meet a lot of people from different shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever met Tigger?
No. Who's Tigger?
You know, Tigger, like, when I was, like, he was, like, the big dude in D.C. on PGC. And then, remember, he used to do the show on BET.
Okay.
Tigger. Remember The Basement?
Yes.
And he'd have, like, stars come in, and they'd rap, supposedly, like, in his bathroom, and then Mom was upstairs cooking. You know, T.I. double grr. Tigger.
Yeah. Tigger.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
No, he wasn't at it, that I know of.
Hmm.
Was he supposed to be there?
No. I'm just like, you always talk about meeting all these different people. I'm like, wonder if Steve's ever met Tigger.
I've never met Tigger.
Trust me, you would see me go completely fanboy on Tigger.
Really?
Oh, 100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm thinking like, trying to think of who would I fanboy over. Steve Summers, who's a sports talk guy.
Yeah.
Howard Stern, of course.
Stern, Dynamike. But Dynamike and Tigger were probably the two, you know. Yeah. Donnie Simpson would be cool to meet too.
I don't know Donnie Simpson. You know Tommy McFly?
No.
He's a DC guy. He's on the radio. He moderated the panel that BJ and I were on.
Nice.
Which was awesome. And he's a cool as F dude.
Yeah.
Really nice guy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And dude,
I'll stick to our agreement too. I get you 1 year at Meltdown and then I'll come radio convention with you guys 1 year.
Okay. Will we go to Atlanta?
I don't know, man. Those Chicago stories always sound a little bit more filling.
Chicago is way better. Rumor has it, a lot of us are pushing for Nashville for next year.
Nashville, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Nashville would be dope. I've been to Nashville before, and that is a fun city.
I haven't been yet. But my buddy runs a hot dog cart down there, so we got the hookup on late night food.
Perfect. He better not run out.
No, we'll skip the line.
And he won't allow anyone to... unless it's a dancing line.
Unless it's a dancing line. Then we'll just wait for it, Steve.
And maybe we're not going to dance in this situation, but let's get 10, Ted.
Yeah, man, we got to finish strong.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you're back, Ted.
Yeah, Summer Meltdown was awesome. Shout out to everybody that came over and said hello.
And for anyone going to Pain in the Grass this Sunday, Ted and I usually do. We're one of the few radio personalities, quote unquote, that actually leaves the backstage.
Yeah.
And works around the crowd. So if you see us, mega hugs.
Mega hugs.
We're giving them out.
Fair warning, they could be a little sweaty. It's going to be a hot day.
Yep, and we might even groan a little bit. Let's get 10. Shoot, shoot.
Here we go.
And
I'm on this track, so I spit a foolish flow. My hands go up and down like strippers' booties go. My verse will still be serving, because all I do, all I do is win, win, win. No matter what, got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody's hands go up.
Whoop.
And they stay there.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Megacast.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, we're back in it, Ted.
We are. We got a cast out, man. Look at us.
We'll be back next week.
Grinding.